This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore!
Oh! Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
And welcome to the WWE Podcast. Let's talk Monday Night Raw that aired last night, but today is Tuesday, January 31st, 2023. Unbelievably, January is gone and February is now upon us. I don't know what it was about this January for me anyway. I don't know. I'm speaking for myself. It felt like the fastest January I can remember. And January usually drags because it's cold, it's snowy, it's just miserable, it's dark. And for whatever reason, you know, this has been a very fast January and I'm not complaining. And here we are, February, as a wrestling fan. And we have the Elimination Chamber right around the corner in Montreal. And then we have the event of the year, WrestleMania 39, that's going to take place in 60 days or so. And boy, is there, you know, there are so many things floating around. And a lot of stuff on Monday Night Raw was set up and set up in a way that I appreciate but also despise. And I'll open with that in just a second. But first, I want to give a shout out to our latest patron over at patreon.com, Jay Roy. Thank you so much, buddy. I hope you enjoy the ad-free content as well as all of the other perks that come with your level. And you can join Jay and Chloe and Jamie and Tom and Alexis and everybody else over there on Patreon. I know I mentioned a few of you. There's many more. These are just the names in front of me as it stands. But Jay, thank you specifically for becoming a family member here on the WWE Podcast, and I hope that you enjoy it, because ad-free is great. I got to say, I do that for my wrestling podcast I listen to. I go ad-free too. It supports the show, and you don't have to hit the skip button, right? You don't have to just hit that 15 second ahead or whatever it is, and you can just sit back and listen, and it's great, isn't it? So, Jay, thank you so much. And you guys can join him at patreon.com/WWE podcast as well as Apple Podcasts for $2.99 a month with a 1 week free trial. You get, if you want to go buy a full year of ad free, you get 2 months for free. So I think that that's something worth considering as we get into WrestleMania season. We have probably over 100 shows by the time we get to WrestleMania. We're going to have just crank out show after show, and we've got a lot of cool stuff planned. We just debuted the Good Morning Show with Mr. and Mrs. Casual Wrestling Fan. That's going to debut on Monday mornings, so I hope you guys take a listen to that. It was the pilot show this week. We'll jazz it up next week with some fancy jingle and all that, and I hope you guys take a listen to that. I got some great feedback so far, and you guys love Mr. and Mrs. Casual Wrestling Fan, as do I. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here, right? So, cool. All right. Well, let's jump into Monday Night Raw. And as I said, I really appreciate the way that they went about both Cody and Rhea's statements about their matches at WrestleMania. For Cody, the decision is made. Unless they were going to split the belts, the decision was made. You're facing Roman Reigns. This tells you that they are not splitting the belts. Now, still, could they, if they want to make a change, I guess they could. But for all intents and purposes, our hope, for those that were hoping, of the belts being split and Raw having a world champion are now dashed. And it is going to be Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns. And we can dissect that in a big way. And actually, myself and Anthony DeMarco last night dissected the issues we have with Cody Rhodes in the main event this year with Roman Reigns on our Current State of WWE showy that we recorded last night. I'd really encourage you to take a listen to that, but I'll dive into it a little bit more here. I actually haven't done a solo show in quite a while. I've had co-host after co-host after co-host over the last week or so, and I love it, but sometimes the solo shows are also good because I don't have to worry about, trying to reschedule because I got kids at home, and I'm always late, I feel like, when I talk to my co-hosts. So solo shows aren't so bad. It takes the pressure off of me, but I love having you guys on. It's great, and I'm sure the listeners do too. My point is, God, I get off track quick, is that that with Cody Rhodes, you guys can listen to the show last night, but I really appreciate how they also dove in with Rhea. We didn't get made to wait on her decision and this and that, and she teases who she's going to face, and she shows up on SmackDown and confronts Charlotte, but ultimately is going to choose Bianca. This selection, first of all, really surprised me and disappointed me that she chose Charlotte. Number one, we've seen this before. Okay, we've seen Rhea and Charlotte before. I don't understand the need to go back to it. I understand that prior to COVID, they were supposed to face each other in front of 70,000 fans at WrestleMania 36, the lost WrestleMania, right? The pandemic WrestleMania. Now, they were supposed to face each other there. That didn't happen. And now I guess they're trying to make good on that. I don't know. I don't have any desire to see Rhea versus Charlotte. I'm sorry. I don't like. Now they could change my mind, and I'm sure they'll get me mildly interested, but how are you not doing Bianca Rhea? I don't follow the logic here. It's a much fresher matchup. They match up very well. They've had really good chemistry in the past. Who are they saving Bianca for? Ronda Rousey? Like, what are we doing? And again, we don't know the Raw side of things. We'll find out the Raw side of things in the weeks to come of who's going to face Bianca. But like, I don't know. I'm just really disappointed right now as it stands. I hope my mind has changed. But when she said Charlotte and she wants to be the disruptor, what are you talking about? If you want to disrupt something, disrupt the long title reign that Bianca's had. She's kind of been the status quo. You want to disrupt something, that's a perfect job for a, quote, disruptor. I don't understand this. Again, they'll have a fine match, I'm sure, and they'll build a nice program, but how in the world are you not going to a fresh matchup that you know is a slam dunk, really good match with Bianca and Rhea? And they're already on the same brand. I don't follow. I am befuddled at this decision. And I don't hate it. I'm just disappointed right now. And boy, do I hope that changes. And maybe you guys are excited about it. Maybe you feel differently. I feel like it is a womp, 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 womp. That's how I feel. That's how it feels to me. That said, the other issue that I have, I'll start off with some positive things. And this is where I have the kind of conflicting feelings, where a lot of times, as I mentioned, they string things out and they take forever to tell you who they're going to choose. They didn't do that this year. As I said, Cody Rhodes' hand was forced. There was no decision to be made. It was just Roman Reigns. But with Rhea, again, she chose Charlotte. I told you my issues with that. But that tells me, though, that Charlotte is not losing the belt at Elimination Chamber, even if it's put up for grabs, until WrestleMania. And same goes for Roman, really. Even though Cody Rhodes' hand is forced on who he chooses, because there is no choice, it tells you that Roman Reigns is going to WrestleMania as champion. Now, look, if you're a wrestling fan for any length of time, you kind of had a feeling that Roman ain't going anywhere as champion, and the best chance he'll lose is the next major pay-per-view, which is WrestleMania. So there's really no threat. But here's what's the most disappointing thing. They not only have exposed the fact that Roman is going to remain champion, and that when someone chooses someone, they say the person instead of the championship, when they should say the name of the championship, because then it would leave a little bit of mystery as to who could hold the belt at WrestleMania. Instead, they tell you who the person they want to face is, and then that gives away everything for the next 60 days. For the next 2 months, you are going to have zero change in championships on the SmackDown Women's Championship side, and especially on the Universal side, Universal Undisputed WWE Championship. So, you know, to me, they should announce the championship that they are going to choose, you know, or at the very least, wait until the Monday Night Raw after the Chamber pay-per-view and then announce it, because that it completely spoils Chamber, and it spoils it especially badly this year, because they have one of the hottest acts that WWE's had in a long time, one of the best storylines WWE's had in many years, in Sami Zayn. And it is widely believed that Sami Zayn is going to face Roman Reigns for the championship at Chamber in Montreal. That is the belief. Now, nothing's confirmed, but let's go with what everyone's reporting, and that seems to be the consensus, and it makes sense. But that's what makes it also super disappointing, is since we had Cody cut a promo on Roman and not the championship, it tells you that there's zero chance Sami Zayn wins. I mean, if anybody out there who thought there is a small chance Sami Zayn could beat Roman at Chamber, that is now gone. And also gone because WWE would not want to put Cody Rhodes in a situation where he has to face Sami Zayn on a large scale at WrestleMania, where he would likely be turned on by the fans, because the fans would come to the realization and have an epiphany that, wait a minute, why are we cheering for this guy again? Sami Zayn is our guy. He's the organically loved individual. Whereas Cody Rhodes is not. That's how I feel. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. I've done it enough. But it just, this was just to me on several levels, a 1,000% confirmation. Not only is Roman Reigns going to WrestleMania as champion, but Sami Zayn's not going to beat him. And there's a very high chance that Sami Zayn is not involved in the main event of WrestleMania at all either. And that's also super disappointing, and could ultimately, I think, create some fans to turn on Cody at WrestleMania. I don't think it's going to be a complete flip at all. I think they could do a nice job of continuing down that heel path with Roman. They've already really reminded you how bad of a person he is, and I mean that in a complimentary way, with the whole Sami Zayn debacle that happened at the Rumble. So they could keep things in place the way they want them, but I'll tell you this, if Sami Zayn is involved in that match at WrestleMania, he will be the fan favorite. Cody Rhodes will be booed. Obviously, Roman Reigns will be booed. And I don't even think that's possible, given they don't want to damage Cody Rhodes, because he's tiptoeing a very fine line. Roman Reigns is, or rather, Cody's on a very fine line, because the fans already found someone this year to love. They found their love this year. And Cody's in a very odd spot, where he was supposed to be that guy. And he is getting a nice reaction, though I'm not going to deny it. He's undeniable, right? But Sammy is the one that has the stronger connection with the fans. And if the fans ever see them in any capacity at all on screen, or mention each other at all in promos, it's going to get ugly for Cody quickly. So if I were WWE and I was trying to make an effort to make sure Cody was as protected as possible, I would keep Sami Zayn as far away from Cody as I possibly could. Because if you don't, fans are going to just, the light bulb's going to go on and go, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Why are we accepting this? Why are we okay with Cody Rhodes in the main event and not Sami? I think for some people, with Sami getting a championship match at Chamber, it'll be enough. They'll say, they played it out. He got his chance. I hope they don't think that. It's just really amazing. You can't have a guy this hot not be a part of the main event. At the same time, you can't undermine the respect that the Rumble outcome is and has. Meaning you can't go back on what the Rumble provides a star. You can't go back on the stipulation of, well, Cody won it, but you got to put him in the main event. So this is going to be a debacle moving forward. And they need to, as great as this storyline has been, they need to really, really make sure they have their ducks in a row if this is all to protect Cody, which in and of itself is a frustrating thing to say, that we have to worry about protecting Cody. If the fans love him so much, they'll stick with him, right? If the fans love him so much, worrying about protecting him shouldn't be a priority. That's if they try to, and if they do, that'll just show you how fragile they believe this whole tower of Cody Rhodes is with the fans. So, I mean, again, it's going to be so much fun to watch. And where Sami Zayn ultimately ends up is probably where I have been talking and many others have been talking about for months and months, that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Usos for the tag titles, they'll topple the Usos, and great, they're tag team champions at WrestleMania. But I don't think in this year with that hot of a reaction, that Stone Cold-esque pop that he got hitting Roman in the back with a chair, will ever supersede anything Cody's going to do, or rather will not supersede anything Cody's going to do, because Cody is not going to get that big of a reaction as Sammy. And it's not going to be enough for fans. Even if he wins the tag titles with Kevin, they're going to say to themselves, what? It's going to feel kind of like, remember when Daniel Bryan didn't win the Royal Rumble in 2015? And then he went to WrestleMania. And when he went to WrestleMania, I think WrestleMania 31, I believe it was, WWE handed him a consolation prize of the Intercontinental Championship, when in reality, fans wanted him back in the main event. I think he got injured shortly thereafter, though, but the fans were pissed. They were pissed because he should have won the Rumble that year in Philly. He should have been in the main event of WrestleMania, and he wasn't. The fans were very angry, and that's kind of the way I feel with right now with Sammy, of what they're going to do to him. And I could be wrong, but all right, I've spent already 15 minutes talking about Sami Zayn. Okay, let's move on, though. Cody Rhodes did open it on. He talked about, you know, beating or outlasting. I think he said outlasting 29 other men. Cody, what universe are you living in, man? I know everyone uses this statement, and I can't stand it because there's not even a shred of truth to that. It's just on its face ridiculous to say, but it's even more ridiculous to say when you enter number 30 and 95 of the competitors have already been eliminated that you had nothing to do with. So you didn't outlast anyone, Cody, okay? Or at least anyone that wasn't in the ring, okay, when you entered. And when you entered, there was a handful of stars. So say you outlasted, you know, 5-6 other guys, however many were in the ring when you came in. But don't tell me, oh, I outlasted 29 other men. Just stop. And this isn't me with sour grapes against Cody, although I don't like it. It's with anyone that claim, man or woman, no matter who it's been, even if I've loved them, it is the most ridiculous thing to say. Anyway, I know, guys, this is not a positive way to open the show, but it's the way I feel, unapologetically. The other thing is the "you deserve a chance" from the crowd. What? What do you mean you deserve? How does Cody deserve it? What are you talking about? He deserves it because what? He came back from an injury. He came back from an injury. You know that. I mean, wrestlers get injured every day. How exactly does he deserve it? He wasn't a big star before he left. He goes to AEW. He's mid to upper card at best. The fans turn on him because they see through him. And he's just the first bigger star to come back from AEW. Are we supposed to cheer him because he's, quote, left a boy and came back a man? No, that's what Drew McIntyre did. Cody Rhodes is basically trying to emulate the hairstyle of Justin Timberlake from NSYNC in 2000, okay? Does anyone really, from a man's perspective, other than Dolph Ziggler, does anyone really dye their hair blonde anymore? That's still a thing? I don't know. So I mean, I'm getting all personal now, but the deserve a chance was just hilariously undeserving for that chant. Cody does not deserve it when you look at other guys. I go up and down the roster. Cody does not deserve it. Okay, you earn it, number one. You don't just get handed it because you deserve it. I mean, if there was ever a chant to not chant at him last night, it was that. And unfortunately, that just continued to validate their decision to put Cody there. And have him being number 30 is just makes it all the worse. But let's see. Well, this led to the Judgment Day coming out. And the Judgment Day and Cody went back and forth. And that led to a match that was going to be put on later in the night. But Edge did come out and there was a brawl, and you know, Edge just cannot let go of the Judgment Day. This has to be, by the way, probably the most uninspiring Edge return ever, because he just cannot stop returning to face the Judgment Day. It feels like it's been 3 years. Okay, let's get to something good. Seth versus Chad Gable. This was a qualifying match for the Chamber, and this was for this, by the way, the Chamber match this go around is for the United States Championship, very first time ever, I believe. And while this match, Seth versus Cody, is essentially a buy, I mean, it's a buy for Seth without saying it's a buy, because what exactly has Chad Gable done in the last several months to earn himself a qualifier match? He hasn't, I mean, seriously, he hasn't won a match, singles or tag or otherwise, months. I don't even know the last time he won. I mean, Chad is sorely underutilized. I think he's an amazing talent. But I'd love to say, hey, what exactly has Chad done again to earn this match? But it didn't matter because he lost. Seth gets the victory. And he moves on to the Chamber. But ultimately, it looks like he is going to have a match with Logan Paul at WrestleMania. That seems to be the place they're going, because in an interview later that night, we had a question posed to Seth about his elimination by Logan Paul at the Rumble, and he just didn't say anything and walked off. So that tells you they're building to something. So Seth gets Logan Paul, and while it's not set in stone, it seems to be absolutely the trend that they're going with right now. And I'm sure that there'll be a lot of criticism about this for Seth, and he doesn't deserve this and this and that. That could be a match of the night candidate, though. It really could be. And then there could be some amazing spots in that match. And I think Logan Paul is the perfect heel. Seth Rollins, an established star, respected star, against this entitled YouTube punk that is very dislikable. An amazing athlete, by the way. I'm not trying to take anything away from him just saying he's a YouTuber. No, he's a legitimate, I mean, he's a badass dude. He is. You can't go toe-to-toe with some of the best boxers in the world and not be considered that. And, you know, so there is that. However, he's very dislikable, and he's perfectly cast in a heel role. So Seth and Logan Paul will put on a nice program and probably a very good match. I'm not worried about that. It's just disappointing for Seth, for me, because Seth not in a title picture again it's unfortunately becoming commonplace, and we're just getting used to it as Seth Rollins fans. But I don't want to get complacent as a fan of Seth Rollins and just go, well, I guess this is his lot in wrestling now. No, I don't want to get complacent. I'm not giving up on Seth being in the main event and eventually capturing that Undisputed Championship. I think him and Roman would have been a much better story than Cody Roman, because as I've said, even again, take Cody, the fact that I don't like him, out of it. Objectively, he and Roman have no real story. Seth and Roman have a really just crazy deep story with one another that they could pull on every week. And Seth is a believable guy to beat Roman. Not that Cody isn't, but Seth is a guy that has found a way time after time to beat Roman, other than the last Survivor Series in 21. But they have a lot of history. They haven't faced each other in quite, you know, at least a little over a year now. So it's been enough time where fans would feel like it's acceptable to go back to. You know they're going to put on a good match. And hell, maybe you could even put enough zeros on a check for Moxley or Dean Ambrose to come in and referee the thing, or be a surprise, a surprise guest in the match or something. Not to have him come back full time, but just to kind of screw with Roman. I mean, imagine that. I know that Dean Ambrose, John Moxley wants nothing to do with WWE. At least that's how he exited. But maybe things have softened up since Vince left, and maybe with Triple H in charge, he's reconsidered it. But that obviously is not going to be the case, because Seth Rollins is not facing Roman Reigns. It is going to be Cody Rhodes. However, back to Monday Night Raw. Let's talk about it. We got a recap of the Women's Royal Rumble, and you know, it was focused a lot too on Nia Jax. And I'm not a big Nia Jax fan. I don't even know what an irresistible force is. I know what an unstoppable force is. That's kind of self-evident. But what's an irresistible force? Is it, I mean, is she so irresistible? Like we can't help ourselves. Like why is she, when you break it down, like irresistible force means you can't resist the force. I don't know. I've never found that appealing, the irresistible force. I don't know. I'm splitting hairs, I guess. Unstoppable, yes. All right. Anyway, the other thing is the number one spot where WWE has, over the last several years, kind of overplayed their card of the number one spot, making it going the distance to the end. I'd like some random number next year to win for both men and women. I mean, like number 17 or like number 5, win the Rumble. Make it an entry that no one's ever won at. Okay, we all know about number 27. Okay, that's a very hot number that has, I think, resulted in more victories than any other entrant number, as Cole points out every year. But like the number one thing, going the distance, needs to stop, at least for the next like 5 years. Because now next year, it's like, you know, while I don't think they duplicate it again, it's, I don't know, I think lately they have... you know, just kind of overplayed that hand over the last several years. But Rhea, by the way, cut a really good promo. She, as I mentioned, to open the show, she chose Charlotte Flair for WrestleMania as the disruptor. And the crowd, by the way, I didn't mention this, seemed kind of apathetic towards this. Yeah, they cheered it a little, but they weren't super excited. And maybe because they knew Charlotte wasn't there and Bianca was, so if she said Charlotte, the segment would end, and it did. And if she said Bianca, they'd at least have a confrontation. That didn't happen. It was just a kind of a matter of fact, I'm going to choose Charlotte, I'm the disruptor, and then that's it. And she said that, I think she said she's coming to SmackDown. I believe she said she's going to SmackDown to confront Charlotte about the decision. So there's that, if you care about such things. But seeing Rhea Ripley cut her own promo was interesting, because you don't really see that. Usually you just kind of see the whispering in Dom's ear as part of the Judgment Day. You get the occasional line or two from her, but you don't get a whole lot of this kind of exposure for Rhea. So I was excited for her on that front, that, you know, you got her out there with no backup, in front of thousands of people live and millions at home. And she cut a good promo. It wasn't a knock it out of the park, but she did her job. She didn't stumble. She felt confident. And I'm a massive Rhea Ripley fan right now. And I hope that she does beat Charlotte Flair. I think that she would be a really fun SmackDown Women's Champion. But they also wonder, like, where does that leave the Judgment Day? You know, if she beats Charlotte at WrestleMania, I mean, she's a massive part of the Judgment Day. Does the Judgment Day somehow defect to SmackDown? There's a lot of weird stuff. I mean, they'll probably do a shakeup, from what I hear, a full-blown draft after WrestleMania, in which case you would imagine that if Rhea is SmackDown Women's Champion, that you'd have the Judgment Day come to SmackDown, because she just fits so well in that role with the Judgment Day. All right. Well, we got Gargano versus Corbin. And this was a qualifier match for the Chamber as well. JBL still tagging along on Corbin, and JBL didn't say anything, which is surprising given he was in Oklahoma and he is a Texas guy, and Oklahoma and Texas have a very documented sports rivalry. And, you know, he never usually misses the opportunity to run down the rednecks of the South, right? He never misses it, but for whatever reason, they didn't include this here, probably for time reasons or what have you. But this has done nothing for Corbin. Now, Gargano wins. JBL, for whatever reason, just continues to hang around Corbin, which I don't think is helping. And look, I'm a JBL fan from a professional standpoint. I think he's done, you know, he turned his career completely around. And it just doesn't do anything for me. I don't know if it's the same for you, but this relationship with JBL and Corbin, maybe time to pull the plug. I'm sure JBL is even thinking to himself, hey, yeah, this ain't really working the way I'd imagined it. The crowd's not reacting that well. Even when I get heat, it's heat on me and not on Corbin, which is where the heat should be, given Corbin's the active wrestler. He's not. You know, they would have been a good duo back in the Ruthless Aggression era. They would have been a nice duo where you have the loud Texan, the good promo of JBL, and you have that kind of backup, very soft-spoken Corbin, right? Like, he doesn't say a whole lot. And Corbin's an okay promo, a good promo at times. So I never understood the need to bring JBL in, and it's just been oil and water. I just have not enjoyed it, and I've given it many weeks now. And it's, to me, kind of it's a failed experiment. I appreciate them trying. I just don't feel it. Maybe I'm wrong, and this ends up somehow forcing itself to work, but usually you shouldn't have to force chemistry. It's just never really a successful formula. All right, let's continue. Cody Rhodes does take on Finn Balor. By the way, that was in the main event. A good match. I thought this was good, and we had Cody Rhodes hit Crossroads 3 times on Finn Balor at the end to win. And Cody Rhodes always puts on really good matches. Now, do I enjoy the fact that he wanted to do 3? I don't know if that's a referendum on him not believing in his finish that he has to hit it 3 times to put his opponent down, or it was supposed to send the message of Cody Rhodes is an aggressive, you know, he's in an aggressive mood and thinking about Roman Reigns in 2 months and all that kind of thing. Perhaps that's the message. And by the way, between now and WrestleMania, Cody Rhodes will essentially go undefeated. There's just no way he will lose anything clean. You mean, if you're going to try to make the fans believe and really believe that Cody could be the one to finally take the belt off Roman, your job the next 60 days should be to make Cody Rhodes look unbeatable. And not unbeatable in a I'm not selling it kind of way, kicking out of finishes kind of way, but in a just a momentum type of way, like fiery on promos, different ways he wins matches, like not just hitting his finish, using a multitude of ways to win matches. And then you can transport that to a Roman Reigns Cody Rhodes match and think, oh, wow, that's right, he could beat Roman this way or that way. That's how I would do this. But all right. And by the way, Cody Rhodes needed help in a kind of an indirect way, where we had Edge get a distraction on Finn that allowed Cody to get those 3 finishes hit on Finn. So Finn had him dead to rights, by the way. Finn Balor had Cody Rhodes set up for the coup de grace, and that's when Edge showed up on the ring apron and caused the distraction. So again, this does not really help Cody. He comes in number 30, the most privileged spot, has to throw out a few guys, has a nice little ending with Gunther, and nearly lost to a guy that was in the match for over an hour. And then he comes out and claims he outlasted 29 of the guys, which is a whole load of crap. And then he proceeds to nearly lose to Finn Balor had it not been for Edge. This is not the strongest booking of a guy that you're supposed to be convincing fans he could beat Roman. But they've got certainly enough time to change that perspective. All right, yeah. Oh, so one other thing about Edge. He came out and did his usual kind of spear thing. I think he's speared the Judgment Day more than, like, collectively Edge and John Cena over the last, you know, 20 years. And he speared Dom. And as he did that at ringside during this match, we had Rhea Ripley attack him. And Edge was selling it. Okay. I have a problem with this. Edge was selling Rhea Ripley. Now, Rhea Ripley is a strong woman, but Edge was essentially just like on the ground taking the punishment, selling it like Rhea's killing him. And you guys know my theory on this, and I know that a lot of you are going to point to, it's the patriarchy, you're misogynistic. Okay, well, first of all, it's pro wrestling, number one. It's professional wrestling. And number two, don't you want things to be realistic? And don't you want your baby faces to stand up for themselves? Yeah, I think yes to both of that. So why is Edge selling again? And then the worst part about it is was his wife came out to make the save. What? What do you mean Beth Phoenix came out to make the save? Beth had to save her husband from another woman? Are we that fragile as a society that we can't handle a man defending himself against a woman in a fantasy environment? Is that really how far we've fallen? The answer is, of course, yes. And I know, I'm just speaking into the void here. No one wants to touch this subject because it is politically charged. It's, it has to deal with real life. And maybe, you know, the problem is people need to disconnect real life, okay? When you watch pro wrestling, disconnect yourself. That's why you're watching, right? That's why you're watching, to disconnect with real from real life and just go into another alternate universe. But I did not like the phrasing of, and Beth Phoenix out to make the save for Edge. Are you effing kidding me? That's like Miss Elizabeth out to make the save for Randy Savage. What? I mean, it's just, it's preposterous. I have a lot of other colorful language that I can't use on this show. That really is just like, it makes Edge look so just weak. It makes every baby face that decides to just take a beating because someone is a woman and decides that they can't touch them or defend themselves, which, by the way, you have every right to, because they're a woman in a non-real, I can't stress that enough, environment. Okay. Even if it is in real life, by the way, you know, you should defend yourself no matter what. Okay. Like, what if that person is armed? Right? Like, what are you going to do? Just say, are you a man or a woman? No, okay. Go ahead and stab me. You're a woman. Of course not. Ay, ay, ay. Defend yourself no matter what. I never ever would advocate for anybody to, just beat on their spouse. Of course not. But self-defense is a human right. Okay. And if someone is, dumb enough, that is 10 times weaker than you, dumb enough to start a physical altercation with you, that's on them. Yeah. Like, that's not on you. That's them. If they initiate, of course, somebody's going to take this and twist it. And I'm sure somebody out there is like, not happy with my comments, but I'm trying to be as clear as I can. All right. So if y'all are still listening, let's move on. We've got MVP hosting Austin Theory in the VIP lounge. MVP and Theory traded words about Bobby Lashley, with Lashley eventually coming to the ring and attacking Theory. Theory managed to avoid a spear by pulling MVP in the line of fire before escaping from the ring. So we haven't gotten yet a full reunion of the Judgment, or the Hurt Business. We haven't got a full reunion yet. It's coming, I would imagine. At the very least, a MVP Bobby Lashley reunion. But MVP gets the bullet here, so to speak, as Theory pulls him in front, and Lashley, obviously did this incidentally, but not a whole lot happened here. I didn't take this as a massive step forward, a kind of a hold me over program for this one. Rick Boogs. That's right. I said Rick Boogs defeated The Miz, and Adam Pearce, as Miz was complaining about the Rumble, said he had a man who was looking for an opportunity, and that led to the surprise return of Rick Boogs. If you remember, he suffered an injury at last year's WrestleMania. Go back and watch it. It's brutal. But Rick Boogs is back, guys. And I'm excited about that. I think he had a lot of momentum going into WrestleMania and then got injured in the match. And now he's back. And The Miz is always like the gatekeeper. If there's ever a returning star or a celebrity, it always seems like he's involved in the match. And he's just kind of that the gatekeeper that always gets beat up. All right, Becky Lynch challenges Bayley to a steel cage match for next Monday night after their previously scheduled match that didn't happen at Raw 30, that honestly pissed off a lot of fans, and rightfully so. Becky came out and made the challenge and they had another kind of awkward promo. Still didn't do a whole lot for me. And talking about who's better and that Bayley's scared and she needs her cronies. I mean, again, it's very wrestling 101, very superficial. But this one was a little different in that Becky forced Bayley into saying yes to this match for next week by pulling Dakota Kai from backstage. She had a chair wrapped around her ankle and threatened to snap her ankle unless Bayley agreed to that steel cage match, and that forced Bayley to say okay. So Becky Lynch showing a little bit of an edge there, and Bayley forced to say yes. And I think the match next week will be fine. But here's the thing. I hope that's it. I truly do hope that that's it for this version of the Bayley-Becky Lynch story, because I'm just ready for both of them to move on. All right, let's see. Then we got Asuka, Nikki Cross, Raquel Rodriguez, and Liv Morgan. They were all announced as entrants for the Women's Elimination Chamber match. Two more women are going to qualify in the next couple of weeks. The winner of the chamber is going to face Bianca Belair at WrestleMania for the Raw Women's Championship. So, in this case, we've got, again, Asuka, Nikki Cross, Raquel Rodriguez, and Liv Morgan. And right off the bat, I'd imagine Asuka is probably going to be the one, but these other two, I mean, if it was these four, I would say Asuka. I don't think Raquel Rodriguez would be the one, although that would be a fun match because of the strength component. But Asuka seems to be the bigger reaction. She's got a new look, kind of a repackaged appearance to her. And Asuka is the biggest star out of all of them. So if you want star power, Asuka is number one. Of course, without knowing the other two, it's hard to make that determination. But all right, we got Bronson Reed taking out Dolph Ziggler. And this was a qualifying match for the Elimination Chamber. He beat Ziggler pretty quickly. He's kind of relegated to the Miz role of just getting beaten by returning or new stars or celebrities. And Bronson Reed he's got a nice presence to him. If you haven't experienced Bronson Reed before, he's a big dude, athletic, young, and his finish makes sense. It's a splash off the ropes, makes sense. It's not overthought. And he beat Ziggler with that very said splash. So we have Bronson Reed now a part of the Elimination Chamber match. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, obviously, there's zero chance of Bronson Reed winning, but it's still fun that Bronson Reed is a part of a big match like that. So, let's see. I want to make sure. Oh, Io Sky defeats Candice LeRae with a roll-up. Bayley interfered multiple times, distracting the referee, and that allowed Io Sky to pick up the victory. So, Io Sky and Bayley getting a little bit more. Boy, I can't say momentum. WWE's got me poisoned. They picked up more steam. All right. They're more relevant over the last 24 hours because they got some victories and Bayley agreed to a steel cage match. And yeah, they're on the map, right? So, all right. What else happened? I think that might be it. I believe that is. So, tomorrow, guys, is the mailbag show. Boy, do I have a lot of emails. I don't know what I'm going to do about it, honestly. Here's the thing, and I thought about this as the show continues to grow, and it'll grow through WrestleMania season. It's great for business, but with the mailbag, you know, I only have so much time at the end of the day to put shows together, and I hate getting them out late. I like getting the mailbag out late Wednesday night. But it's not always easy. And as the show grows, the volume of emails and voicemails grow. So I have options, and I want your guys' opinions on this. As the show grows, and as more emails and voicemails come in every week, would you rather have part one and part two, where I put out a partial response to your emails and voicemails for part one, and then part two would come the following day, or even later in some cases, Or would you rather have me do a concise 1 hour to maybe a little bit over an hour show, but not everyone's email or voicemail would get heard? Because I could try to condense it, but I would give short blast and rushed answers. And I don't like doing that. I like to flesh things out in my mind. So if some of you are like, well, just move faster, read faster, answer the questions faster or more concisely, that's not how my brain works. And it wouldn't be a good listening experience if I try to cram everything in a shorter amount of time. You know, I'm already trying to do that, even if it doesn't seem like it. So I don't think that's a good thing. So it's really only two options. And I want your guys' thoughts as this show continues to grow, because I simply can't do a 3-hour show. It's just not in the cards. I physically can't do it. So let me know. Maybe I'll put a poll out on Patreon or poll out on Twitter or something. But let me know what you guys think about that. If you know, because the problem with doing the shorter show is some people's emails or voicemails are going to be left out. And that'll discourage them from not participating again, thinking that they won't get chosen again. You know, so at the same time, people don't like part one and two because they don't want to have to split up the show, and they want all the emails and voicemails in one show, and they don't want it to be, you know, a two-part experience. But I don't know, guys. I'm between a rock and a hard place. But it's getting to that point. I'm bringing it up because it's getting to that point. I simply don't have the time to do a 2.5 to 3 hour show. So, all right. Well, thank you everybody for listening. And by the way, you can participate in that said email and voicemail part of the mailbag tomorrow. Email realwwepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to call us, well, don't. I'm just kidding. You can call us 518-952-0247. Again, or email us at, how about mailbag@wwepodcast.com. I know I have the other one, but mailbag@wwepodcast.com is the place to go. All right, everybody. That is going to do it for me tonight. I really appreciate everyone listening. Thanks for everybody, all the new listeners who have joined us during the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. I hope you stick around as things are going to get a lot more fun heading into WrestleMania season. I know this is a bit of a downer of a review, but I had some frustrations that I just had to get out. So, you know, go ahead and write that review that I complain about everything. I know it's coming. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thanks so much, and I'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to Patreon.com/WWEPodcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.